Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
God, we love you, we praise you, we glorify you today in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we thank you for your word, God. We thank you that it's life-transforming for every single one of us. God, we pray today that you would use this word to change us, to challenge us, to convict us. God, we pray that we wouldn't leave here the same way that we came, but we would leave with a newfound love of who you are, what your word has for us, and that you would change us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, if you're if this is your first time visiting us at Faith and Victory, I'd just like to say welcome. I'm glad that you're here. And I don't know you, and you don't know me, but you're going to get to know me a little bit in this sermon here. I'm different in the sense that I try it. Best amens I heard all day. I really just try to let the word be the word. I don't want to make it say something that it doesn't, but I want to let it speak what it speaks with little to no commentary and just let it say what it's going to say. I was born again in 1990 when I was a sophomore in high school, and I believe at some point that my life was changed when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was raised Lutheran though, and where's my Lutherans at? What? Stone floors, you know, the candles, all that stuff. That was kind of how I was raised. My pastor wore a cotton robe. And then I ended up, the pastor's late to church. I appreciate it. Hey, come on in, brother. Please, it'd be fantastic. I think after being in the ministry for 30 years, he'd be on time. It'd be fine. But it's good to see you. Nice to see you, Paul. That's Holly's dad, by the way. He's a retired pastor. You know, I used to get so nervous when he would come to church because he's a retired pastor. I'm like, I'm saying something wrong. But it's fine now. So anyway, so I was raised in a Lutheran church, and then I ended up at a United Methodist church, and I got saved in the United Methodist church at a summer camp. And it was weird because after I got saved, when I got led to Christ, somebody handed me a Bible, and I said, what do I do? And they said, read it and do what it says. And so I remember bringing my Bible to my United Methodist church, and they stopped me at the door, and they're like, what are you doing with that thing? And I was like, I'm bringing my Bible to church. Like, you don't need to bring your Bible to church. It's totally okay. And they're kind of freaked out by it. So I didn't stay there very long. What I did do is I ended up becoming part of a church that was a little bit more charismatic Pentecostal. That was just kind of where I ended up. And I've kind of floated around, from here to there through college and stuff. But we kind of found our way to a church in Texas after Crystal and I got married. And all that to say is that my theology about who God is has been formed and shaped mostly by this Bible. I went to Seattle Pacific University. I graduated from there. I went to Falcons. And then I went to the illustrious American Christian College and Seminary in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, where I got my master's degree. It was accredited while I went. It's closed and no longer exists. But it was illustrious while I was. They shut it down after I graduated. They're like, yeah, that's the best we can do. And I share that with you mostly because I want you to understand is that my view of the baptism of the Holy Spirit has changed in the last 5 years like it never was before, because what had happened is that I had been taught things that to me were not biblical after I went to the Bible and asked the Bible what the Word said about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, I'm going to ask you to walk along with me for the next period of time and just let the Word be the Word. And this is going to be really hard for some of you, depending on your background. If you come from a Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Catholic, even if from a Pentecostal background, you may hear some things this morning that are counter to what you have been taught. But for me, I just want to be honest with myself and honest with what God's Word says. And so if God's Word is going to say something and speak it, I'm going to speak it as best as I can and rest on it. I'm not going to stay with a cultural norm just because I'm afraid of tip over some apple carts. We just got to let it say what it says, okay? our scripture today is pretty easy. It's in Mark chapter 1, verse 8. We read it last week, but this is what we're talking about today. And it says, John was talking, he says, I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And that was John talking about the coming of Jesus. And there is a a contingent of Christians that they are saved and they have been baptized, but they're not living in victory in their everyday life. They're not progressively growing in their relationship with Jesus. In some ways, they're kind of like a country club Christianity where Christianity is found on Sunday mornings only, and they come in, they do the songs, and the sermon does whatever, and they go out and they leave out there, and their lives are never changed. They've been born again, but they haven't been baptized with the Holy Spirit in such a way that it has actually changed their life. And this morning, what I want to tell you is that there is a difference. There's scriptures that speak about there is a born-again experience that we have when we come to Jesus Christ, but there's a subsequent experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that is separate from that moment when we're born again. And I think the scriptures that I'm going to show with you this morning make that very, very clear. Now, regardless of how long you've been serving God, I really need you to just have an open mind. Argue with me after the sermon, okay? Leave after the sermon, because some people be like, well, I don't believe that. I'm going to walk out. Listen, you should have enough conviction to be able to hear a differing view for a moment and be able to go through it. Me and my wife don't even agree on everything, so at least you can put up with me for the next 40 minutes. I realized that there was a difference, and I had to be honest about it. Here's the real question. If you are living a life that is marked more by defeat than victory, I'm going to ask you today to consider that possibly you have not been baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I know that that's a real gut-level appraisal for some of you to realize that I have given my life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've lived in form for a month or for 20 years, but you look at your life and you say, I have not had a victorious life. Like, I gave my life to Jesus. I begin to walk with him, and I read the scriptures, and I pray, and I go to church, but my life is marred by defeat. It's not showing victory in every area. And I would tell you that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a power for you to live a victorious life on this side to heaven. And this may be hard for you to comprehend, because even for me, I was taught and I believed that I received the Holy Spirit when I was saved. But this notion was really only over the last 100 years that this happened. Previous to that, it wasn't really the norm. Now, I don't want to get into the semantics of it all. I mean, I know only the Holy Spirit can produce regeneration. Only the Holy Spirit can draw somebody to Christ. I get that. You can possess the Holy Spirit without being possessed by the Holy Spirit. You can possess the Holy Spirit without being possessed by the Holy Spirit. There's a difference. And that term baptism means immersion. It means a complete covering of. And so for some people, you might have a little bit of a sprinkling of the Holy Spirit, maybe a sprinkle of it, but you haven't been immersed in it. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is just that, where God wants to immerse you and fill you with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you have a difficulty understanding this, every week my sermon notes are on the website. You can get them after the service. And so all these scripture references are on there, and a lot of them that I'm not even going to have time to go over that are on here as well, that you can study this out on yourself. The biggest distinction that I want you to understand is you can go to the book of Romans, and you can see Romans 7 and Romans chapter 8. And Romans 7 and 8 is a clear distinction between a man that lives by the flesh and a man that lives by the Spirit. And the man that lives by the flesh is the man that cannot control his flesh, that can't live a victorious life. The man that lives according to the Spirit is a man that has full victory. There's no condemnation. He's walking in the full things of God and experiencing victory in his life. And that's really the crossing over that I want to talk to you about today, is that being filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, is a crossing over where you no longer live according to the flesh, but you live according to the Spirit. It's difficult teaching. The Holy Spirit's been very misunderstood. But the scripture is clear, and you'll see that oftentimes in the Bible, people believed in Jesus in one place, and then later they received the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That's the Bible record. And so if we want to be a Bible church, we've got to go off the Bible record. And so I challenge you with that this morning. I'm going to go over a few things here, and I just want you to think about this in your own mind. And again, this is you and God. You've got to understand where you're at, And what is your spiritual condition. And so the first one is this, is that if you are born again, and if you're not, today is your day. Amen. Today is the day that you're going to start walking with Jesus. You're going to make a decision to live for him and no one else. I believe that at the end of this service, we're going to have an opportunity. We're going to pray for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you'll be able to do that also. You can be born again, and Jesus is your Savior, but not have him be your Lord. Because there's a difference there. Because when he is your Lord, you're fully submitted to his will in your life. And so you can be born again and have him be your Savior, not have the Holy Spirit, and not have him be your Lord. And here's what happens. You can, if you are still troubled with doubts after you have given your life to Christ, I would wonder whether or not you have the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit gives you an assurance of God's Spirit. You don't walk around and wonder and say, am I saved? Am I not saved? Am I not in Christ, or am I in Christ? I believe that the assurance of God's Spirit comes when the Spirit indwells within you. Have you been commissioned into God's service? And what do I mean by that is that there's a lot of people that claim to be Christians that do absolutely nothing in service to the gospel whatsoever. They say they're Christian in name only. They love the songs, they love the sermons, but they're not interested at all in putting their hand to the plow and doing anything for the gospel. I would say it's not that you're not saved, it's that you haven't been commissioned into service by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it said they received power when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to become witnesses of Christ in everywhere that they went. Have you been anointed to preach? And some people say, well, you know, are we all supposed to preach? And the answer is yes. Is it in a pulpit? Not necessarily. But when you are born again, sometimes you have that timidness and you're afraid to be able to share the words of Christ. But with the Holy Spirit upon you, you will have that power to go and preach the word with boldness. And you'll be put in social situations where you'll speak the word over people that would never expect you to hear it. This week, Brother Mark was telling me about how he was down in Seattle and these Buddhists were trying to convert him. And he whipped out his cards and he said, Jesus loves you and I'm going to tell you about Christ that saves. They're like, whoa, man, we don't want what you're giving. He said, well, hey, you're going to come at me with what you got. I'm going to come at you with what I got. I've been anointed to preach. A lot of people have been born again, but they have no love for those that are lost. No love for those that are lost. You're like, I got mine, everybody else, they're going to be off on their own. People that have been filled with the Holy Spirit have an increasing passion for the lost. You look at those people that don't know Jesus and understand that they're not going to make heaven, and you're torn by it. It hurts you. It keeps you up at night because you want those people to know the Jesus that you know. Is your approach to the Bible one with intellect? Is it one only where you're looking for loopholes and ways to make it say something that it doesn't? That you're trying to figure it out, but you can't really understand it? Or has your heart been changed in such a way that you see that God speaks to you by this book? That you love it and you're able to hear from God? That the Bible is seen with your heart instead of just your intellect? Do you see the Bible as a book of rules or words made living by the Spirit that contains the nature of Christ? See, a lot of times people just see this book as a book of rules instead of understanding from Genesis to Revelation, this whole Bible is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Your spiritual growth, has it stopped? Is the pinnacle of your spiritual growth the day that you got saved? Or are you progressively growing in your relationship with Christ, where you look back over the past months and years of your life and you say, you know what, I'm not the same person that I was then because the Spirit has grown me in such ways that I never thought possible. Your prayer life, is it limited or is it mostly mental, or is it being inspired by the Spirit? Are you praying spiritual, Holy Spirit prayers that direct your prayer life in such a way that God reveals supernatural things to you? Or are you only limited in these very rudimentary prayers that, again, feel very out of duty and not a passion? Here's a big question. Is the controlling will in your life your own will or God's will? Because that right there is the difference between a spirit-possessed person versus a person that is not possessed by the Spirit. Is your own will the will that is deciding every decision in your life? Or are you in a position where you say, Holy Spirit, I want you to direct every part of my life? Are you dead to yourself, or are you increasingly dead to self? Because a lot of times people that haven't been baptized with the Holy Spirit, they're not dead to self. They're still selfish people. Your knowledge of God's will, if you sit and you say, well, I've given my life to Christ, but I have no idea what he's doing. I can't understand what he's trying to say to me. Or do you have a new revelation of knowing what God's will is as you read his word and as you pray in the Spirit? And not to change what the word says. You're not changing what the word says. You're just understanding what it says. Here's another big one. Do you have victory over sin in your life? Is it very limited? Or you progressively overcoming sin? Now, just because you have the Holy Spirit doesn't mean you're not going to sin. I mean, we all at times fall into things that we wish we wouldn't have fallen into, and I'm no exception to that. But if you have no victory over sin in your life after you've been saved, I would question whether or not you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Is your pride level high and your humility low? Or is your humility level high and your pride level low? Because the Holy Spirit is always going to birth those things of humbleness inside of your heart. Is your level in trust of faith in God extremely limited? Do you still struggle to think God is going to be able to do this, or God is going to be able to make this happen? Or are you growing as the Spirit grows inside of you to be able to believe big things and say, God is going to be able to do that. God's going to be able to make that thing happen. Is your knowledge of Satan's works minimal and often in denial? Do you not believe that there's an evil realm that exists that's trying to come against you and ruin your life? Or do you have more advancing and less deceived notions where you look and you see, I know exactly what he's trying to do to me, and I'm not going to let him do that? Are you vulnerable to false doctrine, or are you decreasingly at risk? See, one of the biggest problems with a lot of Christians, because they haven't been baptized with the Holy Spirit, they don't have a knowledge of the things of God, they're easily deceived by preachers and teachers that are on television and write books because they don't have the Spirit of God inside of them. Just because someone's on television and has written a bunch of books does not mean that they are preaching the truth. But those people that have the Holy Spirit can look at those things and say, that's not of God. I don't care how many thousands of people are on that television screen or how many millions of people have bought those books. That's not of God. If you have the Holy Spirit, you're able to defend against false doctrine. The analogy is here in the Old Testament to be like in Israel. Are you in the wilderness or are you in the promised land? The New Testament example would be the prodigal. Are you living apart from God spiritually, or are you abiding with God spiritually, and are you connected? And you have to be honest with yourself. As I'm reading those out, are you finding yourself more like, yeesh, that's not my life, or dude, that is my life. Like, that's how I'm walking. That's definitely me. Only you can answer that question. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to talk to you and challenge you to ask that and say, is Jesus Christ my Savior, but not yet my Lord? What would you like him to be? Amen. Would you be willing to give up your right to be self-ruled in order for him by the Holy Spirit to take over the reins of your life? And if you want to know what possesses me, it's just that. All day, every Sunday, all I'm trying to get you to do is to fully submit to God in every single area of your life. Not just one area, not just to come in on a Sunday or Wednesday, but all day, every day, 24 hours a day, 365 days of the year, fully submitted to the things of God in everything. That's what God is asking for you. Are you willing to ask him for the Holy Spirit to indwell inside of you and to believe that he has answered that prayer? You know, Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Why would he not? He's a good, good Father. Amen. If he is a good Father, if we ask him, we say, Father, give me your Holy Spirit. He will give us his Holy Spirit because his word promises it. And if he promises it, I want it. Amen. John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will only speak what he hears and will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. And that's really what the Holy Spirit wants to do, folks. The Holy Spirit wants to make more of Jesus real to you and make more of the Father real to you. He wants you to have a relationship with him in such a way. And I know that for some of you that haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you listen to spiritual people talk about the way that they know God and you think, man, it must be something special that they have that I don't get, because they talk to God like they know him and I can't even begin to understand him. And the reality is that when you have the Holy Spirit, you know God. I'm on a first name basis with him. Him and I talk constantly. He talks to me. And people say, that seems really weird. And I'll tell you, it's no less weird than the rest of this book that we believe. We live in a book of, I mean, gosh, we're made out of dirt and we were saved in a flood. And, you know, the water was parts and donkeys spoke and Jesus rose from the dead and walked on water and people. I mean, it's all just a little bit out there. You know what I'm saying? All of it, every last bit of it. See, here's what happens is that if you take away the teaching concerning a Christian's need to receive the Holy Spirit, it will become impossible that a Christian can receive any further revelation of Jesus or the Father.
Yeah.
And Satan loves this. He would love to debilitate the Christian church in such a way that we lack any spirituality whatsoever. He would love to deceive us to believe that the book has been closed and there's nothing else for us to hear. Now, that being said, I want to make it very clear. God never speaks anything that isn't lined up with his word. So don't think that I'm saying like, well, I came up with this thing and I prayed and we're supposed to do this. If it doesn't line up with God's word, it's not of God. What I'm saying, it's the little stuff, right? I mean, this week I was up in Seattle and I had an appointment up there and I was coming south and I had a friend that was at work and I hadn't seen him in a few months and I was praying. I was like, God, should I go visit? Should I not? And traffic and all these other things. So I showed up at his work and he wasn't in his office and I talked to some people. I said, where's he at? And so they're in this big building. We're walking through this labyrinth. Like, maybe he's here, maybe he's there. We finally found him. They open up the door and he's standing there and he goes, and I was like, what, man? He's like, I was literally just about to text you. And I hadn't seen him in like 3-4 months. We hadn't even talked on the phone. And so then I was there. I was able to minister to him and pray with him. He was in the middle of a spiritual crisis and he wanted to talk to me. And at that moment, it was the Holy Spirit that drew me to that relationship. It wasn't by my own intellect. I mean, and if you've never experienced that before, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you have, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, here's the problem. In some Christian circles where the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is embraced, there's been an overemphasis on certain gifts of the Spirit and then a tolerance of fleshly limitations of those gifts. What do I mean by that? Well, one of the biggest problems, and really the fault is there's people that went before me that really perverted the gifts in such a way that you can no longer embrace them. And I'll give you an example. One of the things is like speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is biblical. It's of God. It's in the Scripture. But some of these people that went before me, they really just kind of made it wonky. You know what I mean? They like do these things where you come up and you pray for people and you put your head on the forehead and you just, you know, and put on the, you know what I mean? If you guys ever been in one of these services before, you know what I mean? And then you're just like, oh my gosh, this doesn't seem right. And no one says anything about it, right? And then people start making up tongues. They want to see, oh, should have bought a Honda, but a Ford, you know what I mean? And people like, you know, see my tie. You know, it's like they make up this tongue-talking stuff to make it seem like they're spiritual when the reality is it's a bunch of fleshly circus acts, man. And what's really hard is that there's been a lot of church people before that say, well, if no one's screaming, yelling, or running laps, the Spirit didn't move. And that's a lie from the pit of hell, man. Now, is there times when God will cause people to speak in tongues and prophesy and words of knowledge and grow out arms? Yeah, man, God will do all that stuff. But it's always going to be spiritual and it's going to be completely clear to everybody in the room that it was God. It's not going to be some theatrical thing with a guy with a sparkly vest that's going to make things happen just so he can get a good offering afterwards. You know what I mean? The problem with that teaching is that teaching has been at the expense of the principal ministries of the Holy Spirit. Now, these are the principal ministries of the Holy Spirit, to reveal more of Christ. When the Holy Spirit comes, he reveals more of Christ because he is directing us to Jesus, right? Now, next week, we're going to talk about the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. People sometimes get it mixed up because they think the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. They say, God, send your Holy Spirit. That's a wrong prayer. We don't say, God, send your Holy Spirit. We say, Holy Spirit, come, because the Holy Spirit is his own entity. He is separate and equal to God, right? And so when the Holy Spirit comes, it reveals more of Christ. When the Holy Spirit comes, it's to empower and anoint for service. It's not just for you to sit around and flail around on the ground and say, oh, that was a great service, and go out there and live like the devil. It's to actually empower and anoint you for service. It's to provide victory over sin through sanctification. Now, sadly, the spiritual enemy, Satan, has used this overemphasis on and faking of gifts to cause many to reject the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Like, even as I'm speaking this, and for those of you that are visiting or been here for a while, like, even as I'm talking, like, oh my gosh, where am I at? They're going to bring out the vipers. Like, this is what's going to happen next. And it's, dude, here's the thing, man. You cannot be afraid of things that are in the Bible, okay? Don't be afraid of those things. And we're not getting off the rails here. I've been pastoring this church for 13 years, We're not one of these, like, throw the chairs and do that kind of thing, right? People have asked us and they say, you know, what kind of church is Faith and Victory? I always say we're Bapticostal. And what that means is, you know, we're good Baptists that believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's like Pentecostalism with a seatbelt on. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, it's good. It's just, yeah, you know, check, no personal tambourines or anything like that. You know, I'm all about the things of God, but it's very clear in the Bible that it's going to be done in a spirit of order. right? And it's going to be things that glorify God, not ourselves. I mean, I've been to churches before. Crystal got saved in a crazy Pentecostal church in Texas, and we used to make fun of people. There's this one gal that was in the front, and I tell you, man, as soon as the music started, she'd like, pow, whoa, and then she'd dance around a circle. We called her Spinderella, because she would spin the whole entire service, man. And they'd worship for like 45 minutes. It's like, how does she do it? We're like, look at Spinderella go. There she went. You know, now, in other larger Christian circles, this essential Bible teaching on receiving the Holy Spirit has been set aside because of the assumption or the false assumption that a Christian receives or is baptized with the Holy Spirit when they're born again. And again, some of you could argue with me about that, and my argument to you would be that. Is that, do you possess the Spirit or are you possessed by the Spirit? Because, I mean, there could be some arguments that said you could have the Holy Spirit but not be possessed by the Holy Spirit. It's semantics. The bottom line is that it's going to result in a deeper revelation of Jesus Christ, a real knowledge of the Heavenly Father, His ways and His will, and that will depend on the Holy Spirit and be able to grow in Him. So here, let's talk about it for a minute here. What happens when we're born again? Do we receive the Spirit or do we receive the Word? And let's go to the Word and see what it says. It says in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again by the Word of God. When people were born again, it was because the Word of God was being preached. That's why I think that the preaching of the Word is so important to this world, is that people can be only be born again by the Word being preached to them, and then it changes their hearts. James 1:18, and it was of His own free will that He gave us birth as sons, by His word of truth. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And those are just three references to being born again, and none of them refer to receiving the Holy Spirit. And I'm just sharing you that as a distinction to say that there's people that were born again that received Christ that didn't receive the Holy Spirit. They were born again by the word. It was the word that changed their minds. It was the word that changed their hearts. Now, the book of Acts, just about every reference to unbelievers being converted to Christ or saved uses the expression, they received the word of God, and it's silent on receiving the Holy Spirit. And again, that's just what the scripture says. And this is, for those of you that don't understand, there's a lot of teaching out there that says when you're saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. And so then someone comes in and says, you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they're like, I already got the Holy Spirit. But if we look at the Bible record, these people, when they received Christ, they received the Word, and it doesn't show them receiving the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:41. A lot of those old school Pentecostals like to use Acts 2:38, repent, be baptized. They don't read ahead to Acts 2:41. And those who gladly received His Word were baptized, and on that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. So upon hearing the Word of God, that was what compelled them to be baptized. The Word was more than enough to change their hearts. And you can see that in Acts 8:14, 11:1 also. Numerous examples in Scripture of people receiving and being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And in each case, we've got to honestly ask the question and let God's Word answer, were these people already saved or not? Were they born again of the Holy Spirit and then later baptized with the Holy Spirit? And I'll tell you, the first place to look on this of whether somebody had the Holy Spirit or not is to look at Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 1, verse 31, it says, they're talking about Jesus' life, and they say, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and His name shall be called Jesus. That's what it says. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Jesus will be born of the Spirit. And that's, even in Mark, next week we'll talk about it when we talk about the Trinity. Jesus Himself received the Holy Spirit. There's not one scripture in the whole Bible that talks about Jesus speaking in tongues. None at all. There's not one scripture that talks about it at all. Whenever they talked about, we're talking about Jesus, right? Jeez. Is that Brian? Jeez. All right. So Luke chapter 3, verse 22. It says, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon Him. And this was the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. Jesus baptized in the Holy Spirit. Again, we see it in Mark. Now, watch this about the disciples. The disciples in John 6:67, it says, and we, the disciples, have come to believe and know that You are the Christ and the Son of the living God. Now, that moment right there was their salvation moment. They believed that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. They were born again of the Spirit. I mean, that's 1 John 5:1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now in Acts 2:4, what we see about these guys is that they, the disciples, were all filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:4. They believed in Christ, and later on they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It was separate. And God, and somebody said, well, you know, the Holy Spirit came and it changed the disposition, the dispensation, and then after that, you know, they were both coupled together by some cosmic thing, and now you can't separate the two. And I get that, and there's an argument for it, but there's also an argument to say, well, if we read the Bible record, it was always separate. Like the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8, 14 through 15. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, meaning born again in Jesus Christ, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So they had already been saved, but they hadn't received yet the Holy Spirit. It was separate. They sent guys down there and said, you've already been born again, but you haven't yet received the Holy Spirit. Even Paul in Acts 9:17, and Ananias said, brother Saul, he was already a brother in the faith, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul was already a believer before he received the Holy Spirit. It was separate from that. He was already a brother in Christ. The Ephesians in Acts 19:2, and he, Paul, asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed on Jesus as the Christ? And they said, no, we believed in Jesus, but we had not yet received the Holy Spirit. And so Paul saw that as an opportunity to say, well, here's your opportunity. Here's your opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit. Baptized in Acts 19:6, and Paul laid hands upon them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. Now, at the end of this service, we're going to invite you to walk up, and we want to pray for people to receive that. I just want to throw that in because we just want to live by what the Bible says, right? If that's how Paul said, and if people say, well, I want the Holy Spirit, we want to lay hands on people and pray that they're going to receive the Holy Spirit. Gut level appraisal, folks. You got to decide whether or not you want it or not. Because here's the deal. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means to be ruled by the Holy Spirit by receiving Him. Yeah. And you know whether your life is being ruled by the Holy Spirit or not. Many people can say, man, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that he wants me to receive that salvation. But he doesn't want to just be your Savior. He wants to be your Lord. Like, he wants to direct every last part of your life. Not just the small parts, the big parts too. Every decision that you make. And some people say, well, that's scary. And I'm like, well, that's Christianity. The disciples, the early disciples that were called to Jesus, he didn't call them and say, hey man, I'm looking for you to just kind of come and change a little bit about yourself and say that you follow me. That's not what he was saying. He said, I want you to give away everything that you have, come and follow me, and we're going to go change the world. Yeah. And today the call is no different. I believe that God wants us to be fully devoted followers of him. Now, what does the Bible say are the principal evidences that a person have received or been filled by or anointed or baptized with the Holy Spirit? Let's let the scripture speak. Because here's the problem, is that a lot of people that come from Pentecostal backgrounds believe that the only evidence of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. And that's not scriptural. It's not scriptural to believe that that's the only evidence of speaking. The only evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. That's not what the Bible teaches. Now, and again, going to Jesus, Luke 3:22, it says the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, Jesus, and he didn't speak in tongues. I mean, and it doesn't mean that speaking in tongues isn't biblical. I mean, there's many parts in the Bible that talk about it. We're going to get to it in a second. But Jesus didn't speak in tongues and he received the Holy Spirit. Luke 4:18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's the power of the Holy Spirit right there. If you're wondering what the Holy Spirit's intention to come and do, it's just that. It's to break the yoke of bondage of all those things that people are in bondage to, that we can preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those that are bruised. If oftentimes when you're sitting in this church and you look at me and you say, man, what has gotten into that guy? That's exactly what's gotten into me. There is a deep, burning passion that exists inside of me that wants to see you set free. But it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit inside of me that is coming forth, that's trying to set you free from that captivity that you're in. To heal your broken heart, to deliver you, to give you sight, to give you liberty. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Amen. There was no tongues mentioned there. The evidence of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus' life was that he was doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. I know many a tongue talker that they'll be in church and then they go outside and live like the devil. Are they out there doing good? Are they out there healing the oppressed? Or are they just trying to be super spiritual so that other people think that they're not spiritual enough? The principal purpose of Jesus being baptized with the Holy Spirit was to commence his public ministry with power of preaching God's word, healing the oppressed, and doing good. Again, no reference to him speaking in tongues. Now that being said, in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, when they talk about the disciples receiving the Holy Spirit, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's biblical. It says it in there. Now people say, well, what did that sound like? I don't know. I wasn't there. Okay? But this is what I do know. The Bible says that they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And some people say, well, that's really weird, man. That just kind of freaks me out, man. I don't like people saying, you know, stuff I don't understand around me. Now, who here speaks a foreign language? Raise your hand. Anybody? Who else? All right, I'll use you. Tony, you speak Spanish, right? Yeah, well, you guys speak Tagalog, right? I don't speak a word of Tagalog. Well, a couple bad words I learned in middle school, but I know enough Spanish. Tagalog, now if you guys we're sitting here and we're praying at the end of the service and you guys begin to pray in Tagalog, nobody's going to go, they're praying in Tagalog, tell them to stop. You don't understand what they're saying. They know what they're saying. God knows what they're saying. Isn't that enough? Why does it flip you out that someone's speaking in a language that you don't understand? But that's how people deal sometimes with the things of God. If someone starts speaking in tongues, like, man, it just started freaking me out, man. Saying stuff I didn't know. Speaking Spanish and Tagalog, Swahili. What were they doing? It's not like God. They didn't be praying in English. America. You know what I mean? That's how people are. But it's just not of God. If you're speaking in a language that you and God understand what's going on, that's the only two people that really matters. If you happen to overhear, it's like, well, God knows what's going on there. I may not, but that's all that really is important. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. No tongues there. In Acts chapter 8, verse 14, now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, they lay hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Again, no mention of tongues. Acts chapter 9, verse 17, and Ananias laying his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. No tongues, but later on there was. Acts chapter 10, verse 44, when Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. We see tongues. Acts chapter 19, verse 6. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. And why am I sharing you all these scriptures? Because I want you to see the difference here. Sometimes people receive the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues. Sometimes they receive the Holy Spirit, and they didn't speak in tongues. God does however he wills. That's why they call it a gift. Okay? Now, it's not my design who does and who doesn't. But it does say in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. No tongues. Now here's what I say to you, for those of you that might be a little bit more learned this morning. You cannot say that the Azusa Street Revival of 1906 was not of God. And for you, those that don't know what it is, research it. It was a fantastic thing. Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You can't say that wasn't of God. But you also can't look at a man like A.W. Tozer and say that he wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. Like, it's impossible. A.W. Tozer didn't speak in tongues. But you can pick up anything that dude wrote, and you will meet God by the stuff that he wrote. And he didn't have tongues. Can you be baptized with the Holy Spirit and not speak in tongues? The answer is yes. Can you be baptized with the Holy Spirit and speak with new tongues? Yeah, you can. Might happen. Are tongues the exclusive initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? No. Can tongues be an initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Yes. Look at the scriptures again, folks. 1 Corinthians 12:30. Paul said this, do all speak with tongues? The implied answer is no. Right? He says, do all speak in tongues? 1 Corinthians 14:5, he says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more so that you prophesied. Because he knew that when a person prophesies, it edifies the body. When someone speaks in tongues, it's just for themselves, right? He actually goes so far as to say, I prefer you to speak in English. Or not English, whatever it is, Greek.
I prefer when you're speaking America.
Prefer you speak it in King's English. No, he said to a known tongue. He said that's actually more edifying. He said it's more edifying to speak in a language that people speak than, you know, a language that doesn't, you know, edify anybody. But he does say in 1 Corinthians 12:31, earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And then he goes into chapter 13, which is the love chapter, which is so important. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they all need to be bathed in the things of God. And they all have to be bathed in love. If you're not doing this in love, if you're not speaking in love, the Bible says that you're a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal, that there's no value in what you're doing if you're not coming from a position of love. So what then determines whether the baptism is accompanied by speaking in tongues or not? Well, it's on the Holy Spirit, man. It's not me. I'm not one of these, like, I'm going to grab your throat and say, just one syllable, brother. Just one syllable is the only step between you and the things of God. I'm like, listen, man, if God wants you to speak in tongues, as the Spirit gives you utterance, it's going to happen, man. Now, me, for myself, I went before God when I was in college, and I tarried for months, man, because I said, God, this is something that I want, and God gave it to me. Now, when a person has this, they've got to desire it. Like, if you're not desiring to speak in tongues, you're never going to speak in tongues, and that's fine. You can make it to heaven without speaking in tongues, okay? You'll be totally fine, okay? Now, that being said, you might just watch out. One day you wake up in the middle of the night, you'll be speaking in tongues, your wife will flip out. She's like, what happened? I'm supposed to mess with my Holy Spirit. But, and if this gift is less emphasized, and this is where I'm at a lot of times with our church, is that a lot of people have this temptation to imitate the flesh, and they don't let it be genuine, and they want to put too much emphasis on the gift to the neglect of the major ministries of the Holy Spirit. I don't care if you speak in tongues. I care if you love people, man. I don't care if you can prophesy. I care if whether or not you're willing to serve in the children's ministry. You know what I mean? Walking around talking, you like how I slipped that in there? Walking around talking in tongues never saved anyone. Now, stick with me, man. I know it's hot. Just give me a few more. You guys still with me?
Yeah.
All right, is it good? Are you cold? Because I'm on fire. I feel like I'm going to burst. If I burst into flames, just pour water on me, all right? I'm thinking of my... Hold on, I'm going to take off my... Just kidding. All right, okay. Here's the deal. All right, we're getting to the end. We're descending, okay? We're at Portland. We're coming into SeaTac. Here we go. Walking around talking in tongues never saved anyone, okay? I've met some disgusting sinners that speak in tongues that think that they're spiritual just because they can speak in tongues. But these ministries have naturally correspond with the principal evidences of baptism in the Holy Spirit. First one being love. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're going to have increased love of God, from God, and for God. You're going to have increased love for the lost and for the brethren. Secondly, you're going to have power, a supernatural power to preach and teach a full salvation with boldness and without fear of man. Being a witness of what you have seen. Thirdly, fire. A baptism with fire where God's living words burn deep within the belly. The eyes are ablaze with Christ's passion. And the tongue is aflame with the gospel of God. Truth. A deepening relationship with God through an increasing heart knowledge of God's words of truth as now revealed by the Holy Spirit, thus diminishing lies and deception. Prayer. A growing ability to let our prayers be guided by the Spirit into the will of God. Overcoming sin, a newfound power that didn't exist before to say no to myself. Trust, an enhanced ability to believe God and His Word so more of His will can be done. Nature change, God progressively changing your selfish nature with Christ's nature. Obedience, God causing you to obey His Word. Guidance, God gives you lovingly guidance in every area of your life. Christ in me, no longer a distant God, now a revelation that Christ lives inside of me. Now, how do you get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Again, we're going to ask you to come up here. I'm going to pray for you in just a minute here. Firstly, you must be born again, okay? What does that mean? You have to believe the words that Jesus died for your sins and that you want to live for Him. If you haven't made that decision, do it right now. Right now, just give your life to Jesus and say, man, I want to be born again, and God will renew your spirit right now, and you'll be born again. Secondly, you've got to receive that. You got to believe that you can receive it. It says in Acts 2:39 that this baptism is for you and your children's children. Number three, I must honestly recognize if I don't have the Holy Spirit. Now, first service, man, we probably had, there's probably 30 or 40 people that came up to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And some of the people that came up, I was proud of them because here's the problem is that there's a pride level where you're like, man, I've been going to this church for so long, and if I walk up and get prayed for, people will think, what? I didn't say that. That's between you and God. You know what I'm saying? And I was proud of a lot of people that just said, you know what? I want to be prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit because after that teaching, I'm not sure that I have it. Here's the easiest question to answer that. Does my life mirror the disciples' lives before or after they received the Holy Spirit? Because before they received the Holy Spirit, they were lost, they fell asleep, they didn't do what they were told. Afterwards, they were willing to die. After they received the Holy Spirit, they became this force of people that refused to be stopped. You've got to see your own need of the Holy Spirit. You've got to have an intense desire for the Holy Spirit to grow in your heart. I must obey God. I must be fully submitted to His will. I must not be afraid, this is a big one, not be afraid of handing over control of my life. I must pray and ask the Father to give me the Holy Spirit. Here's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. He said, if you then are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? I believe that everybody that asks will receive the Holy Spirit because His Word promises it. And it doesn't have to be with fanfare or throat choking or pushing on the forehead. It's just not what it is. If you say, I want the Holy Spirit, and we lay hands on you to receive the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that you will receive the Holy Spirit. Because it says in Mark 11, 24, whatever you ask, believe that you have received it. You're asking for it. I'm going to believe that I received it this morning because God's Word said that I did. Galatians chapter 3, verse 2, I would like to learn one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or believing what you heard? You just got to believe what you heard. So is the worship team still here? You guys want to come up? Let's play that Overwhelmed song because that's a good one. And this is all I want to ask you to do. Would you guys stand with me this morning? This is what I'm going to ask you to do. And it's really, really, it's just quite simple. If you have never, after hearing that teaching today, if you feel like, man, I've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want to invite you to be prayed for this morning to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, man. And I'm just going to hold God in His Word and believe that it's true and that God's going to meet you in that place. And so just as you feel led, I'd like to ask you right now, just begin to walk forward and say, I want to be prayed for. I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in my life. And that's fine. Come walk up. And I believe that God is going to meet you right in that place. Come stand forward so more people can fit in. So, you know, it's so beautiful when people just kind of come all the way up to the front because there's a lot of people coming. Where people just see, there's no pride in it, man. Can we just take God at His word? It doesn't have to be crazy. It doesn't have to be weird. It just has to be biblical. If God said that He would give His word, He would give His Spirit to those who ask, then let's just take God at His word and believe that He's going to give it to us. Amen? So this is what I want you to do. Would you just, would you close your eyes? Would you just raise your hand to heaven? Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would come upon your people right now in the name of Jesus. God, as the Bible said and as you declared, God, when they laid hands on people, they received the Holy Spirit. And so, God, we pray today as we lay hands on our brothers and sisters in the same way that they did in the Bible. God, I pray that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit, that they would experience your presence like they've never experienced it before, God. That they would have a newfound knowledge and grace of who you are, that they would feel your presence in a way that they've never felt it before. God, that they would be filled from the top of the head to the bottom of their feet, that you would empower them. Holy Spirit, come upon them with power right now as your word declares, God. We believe it and we receive it in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Do you believe that you received the Holy Spirit this morning? Yes. This is what I want to ask you to do. I want you to stay here. We're going to sing just a little bit of this song, and I want you to stand here, and I want you to worship God. Amen. Can we just worship Him together with this song, and then we'll get out of here in a few minutes. I love this song. Can you sing it? Are you too overwhelmed to sing Overwhelmed? All right. Let's sing this song. Coming so real to every one of us. God, we're just going to stand on your word this morning. We're going to believe that we have received it because your word says that. God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters this morning. God, I thank you as you baptize them this morning, your Holy Spirit, that their lives would be utterly and completely changed as they go from this place, God, that they would feel your presence in a new, exciting way. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.